Good morning to you on the seventh day of the year. What year is it, Bob?
2018.
Goodness, I can't hardly say that.
Wow.
2018 it is. And we're blessed to be alive. We're blessed to be with you to teach the Sunday school lesson on January the 7th, 2018. It's been wonderful to be with you all the past year and spend time with you if you've joined us and listened to us. And we have we've been studying on Jesus changes everything.
Amen.
Everything.
Amen.
And we have talked about Jesus' call. We're talking about Jesus' teaches, Jesus' rules, Jesus saves, Jesus heals, and today Jesus provides. Mm. Jesus provides. The scripture is in Mark chapter 6, 34 through 44. So if you want to get your Bible, if you're not driving down the road, don't try this unless you got one of those that you just listen to. And join us in the scripture. And also, of course, you could get the same lesson out of Bible Studies for Life by LifeWay. We use, of course, the adult copy.
We King not, James Version.
That's right, the King James Version of the scripture. We're going to tell you now who we are. Then we're going to have our prayer. And we are going to study God's Word with you for the first opportunity on the radio in the 2018 year.
Amen. Amen.
I can't say it and I can't write it, but I'll get used to it.
Amen.
And I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
Brother Pinion, I think I know you, but do the others.
I am Brandon Pinion, pastor of Moore's Bridge Baptist Church over in Tuscaloosa County, and I'm thankful to God to be here.
And we're thankful to God for you being here. Okay, Dr. Farley.
I'm Gary Farley. I'm the retired director of missions for the Pickens Baptist Association. And as could be praying for me on Thursday, I begin a class on basic Bible beliefs at the work camp at the Aliceville Federal Correctional Institution. We've been teaching classes out there for a number of years. It's connected with Samford University Minister Training Institute, and the ladies that take the classes, if they take eight classes and get a diploma from Samford in church ministries. And they're excited about it. I'm excited about getting to teach it. There are a lot of well-educated and very intelligent women there, so it makes a real joy to teach it. And then on the 16th, I'm going to begin the same class on Tuesday evenings here at the associational office. So be praying both of those come, and you certainly be welcome to participate in the associational class. Had a really good Christmas time at the Baptist Center. And gave out a lot of food to people that needed it. People have been bringing in a lot of things that are surplus because they got stuff that they want to wear more. New stuff, yeah, smells better maybe. And so come and shop with us. And if you have been packing up some stuff that you don't have room for anymore, bring it on down. We're open from 8 to 2 on Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays. And so I'm going to pass it on off to Bob now.
Well, I want you to tell one more thing about that. We're becoming a computerized world. How can they get these lessons ahead of time on their computers?
Well, the association here has a website. It's PickensBaptist.com. And you can go on there and look for a tab related to Sunday school lessons. And you go on there and you listen to a, what do you call those things? It's a
podcast.
Podcast, yeah. So we've got ones from the past. We've got ones that you'll be listening to today and on into the future. And the reason for that is that there are a lot of folks that, I say a lot, there's several anyhow, a lot may be an exaggeration, but there are folks that like to listen to what we, our take on the Sunday school lessons in preparations for their Sunday school lessons the next Sunday. And there are some folks that aren't available to listen to the lesson at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning, so they listen either before or after and so forth. So that's just a, you know, part of our stewardship, because basically one of the main things that we hope come out of these lessons week by week is that we improve the quality of biblical knowledge and of Bible teaching in West Alabama and East Mississippi. So share that with folks and join us in listening to what we have to say.
Amen. All right, Dr. Bob Little, tell us about you.
I'm Brother Bob Little, and I pastor down at the Galilee Baptist Church. I also help oversee a ministry in Greene County, New Fellowship, and we've also been actively involved with the Pickens Baptist Association and helped establish several ministries out at the new, at the Federal Correction Center in Addisville, and just a wonderful time and a wonderful connection and wonderful opportunities to be able to advance the kingdom and then empower those who need to be empowered through so many opportunities.
Have we said anything about the award that one of your church members got that works at the prison?
That was last year, one of the awards Sister Kimberly Spates received for the religious service, and she received the award for outstanding employee for all of the
127 odd prisons across this country.
That is one.
And Addisville has a representative of Pickens Baptist Association, have a representative of the work that has come forth through the things that has transpired, and those who were labored and work alongside Pickens Baptist and the prison, the partnership, and she was able to be recognized for the outstanding work and job and coordination that she's done through the last year and coordinating these activities.
That Blister's bride?
That's his daughter.
His daughter.
Yeah, Blister's daughter, yeah. Yeah, amen. That's it. Amen.
You know, the prison's not 5 years old, really.
Right?
No, that's pretty good. That's
achieve something like that in that period of time is
for the nation. You know, you know, that says speak volumes of what has transpired. You know, under Dr. Farley's leadership and the participation and the prayers and the things that God has done through the Pickens Baptist Association, and that's why all of the Association of Churches ought to be excited about this ministry of being able to go into the prison and be able to be a blessing to those, because now we see the fruit. It's coming to fruition. We see what is transpiring, a recognition of the pilot and the model that has been put in place around the country.
Anyway. Well, thank you so much, Bob. And that the people who leave the prison, they go back to their own country, many of them outside the United States.
Amen.
They go back with salvation, having received it in the prison, many of them, and with the ability to go back and tell their people about Jesus.
One of the visions that Dr. Farley had is to make sure that we make missionaries.
That's right.
That when we can't go to all these countries, because there's a great representation of many countries from around this world that's right in our local area.
They're already trained in the language.
Amen. All that, they know the custom, the language, and the layout, the geographical layout, and they know where to reach, because they come out of that area, they come out of that background of mischief, and they know where to go and reach people. And to empower, impact them to be saved.
And folks can see the change in their lives.
Amen.
Amen.
So what we're saying before we get into the lesson is that we are involved in more as wonderful as it is, the privilege as it is, to come to you with a Sunday school lesson, but there are people around this table that make an impact not only in our radio listening audience, but around the world. I'm Herschel Owen. I'm just plain old Herschel Owen, pastor, well, with the greatest ministry in the whole world, pastor in Emmanuel Baptist Church in Gordo, Alabama. Now, thank you, and we're gonna just have a good time studying Jesus Provide. But first, let's have prayer. Brother Pinion, lead us to the Lord.
Thank you, our Father, for the opportunity of sharing together the Word of God. And I pray for your leadership. I pray for the guidance and light provided for us through the Holy Spirit of God as we share in these moments together. And give those who are listening an ear guided too by the Holy Spirit, that they might hear and they might understand.
Amen.
And especially those, our Father, that might have never made a profession of their faith in Him or a commitment to Him. I pray, Lord, that you'll deal with their hearts, that you'll bless their lives, and that you'll lead them to salvation and forgiveness and cleansing and blessing through the sacrifice of the Son of God. And we'll thank you for what you're going to do, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus Provides. Mm. Brother Pinion, you are sitting to my right. I'm going to tell you that our scripture lesson is broken down into two sections. I always like it to be broken into three, but they didn't consult me on that.
Well, yeah, I think I've got a third one.
Okay, well, we'll legally wait for that third one.
All righty.
Got that.
Right.
Okay.
So let's hurry so I can get to it.
We will. We're reminded, again, I say about for the third time, that Jesus does change everything. He does in Pickens County. He does in Tennessee. He does in Mississippi. He does the whole world over. Now, there was an interesting little story told by one of the workers who helped write this material. It may have been the writer of it. And he helped deliver the Christmas boxes, Operation Christmas Child, where you pack shoe boxes with stuff and deliver it all over the world. And he was helping to deliver boxes, and the kids, of course, were getting out flutes and toys and other stuff there, and books, little books that they could read, and yo-yos and coloring books. And he noticed there was a little boy standing off by himself in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And so he asked one of the people there about him, and they said, well, he's blind. And so he approached, this worker did, the one that wrote the lesson, we went over to the little boy and carried a box, and he said, all the way over, I was wondering what was in it, because he couldn't color, he couldn't read, he probably couldn't properly play with most toys. And so he asked the person there about him and found out he was blind. When the little boy opened the box, he need not have worried about it, the worker, because inside of it was a portable music player.
Mm.
The very thing the little boy could listen to.
Amen.
And have the scripture and music in it in his own language. God always
Amen.
Knows our needs.
Amen.
And he meets our needs. All right, Brother Pinion, we're going to look at Jesus is aware of people's needs.
In Mark chapter number 6, verse 34 to 7, the Bible said, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country and round about, and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they had nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat?
Mm.
So I have said, and it proves out to be, because the Bible said it, it's the only reason I said it, Jesus is aware of people's needs. In verse 34, Dr. Farley, mm-hmm. what needs did he see that group of people, the first thing that was the first priority in his mind?
Well, they didn't have leadership.
Mm-hmm. My, my, my.
And they were like sheep without a leader. And
is that bad to be a sheep without a leader?
Well, I'm pretty sure it is, yes.
Sheep are the dumbest animals in the world. Excuse me, sheep. I didn't mean that you'd hear that. But if one wanders off, he cannot find his way back. Mm-hmm. And he'll just keep wandering. But now, Dr. Farley, we live in a society of educated people. You mean to tell me they couldn't go to Birmingham and find their way back? Or what's he talking about?
Well, I think he's talking about the religious leaders of the mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm.
And finding their way to where?
Well, to salvation, to becoming a part of the kingdom of God that Jesus came to talk about. Earlier on, he sent out the 12 and said, you know, tell the people to repent. And that's still the lesson that we need to be preaching and teaching people, the need of repentance. Sunday before Christmas, I was sitting in worship service, and the pastor was dealing with the Christmas story from Luke 2. And it struck me, I'm 81 years old, and I've really not known any peace. You know, the angel said, you know, peace on mm-hmm, earth, mm-hmm. glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill among men. Why don't we know peace? Mm-hmm. Well, it's obvious right there. We don't give God the glory, mm-hmm. and we don't work for the goodwill among people. The three go together. And here Jesus is dealing with these people. He sees their need. They need for leadership. And the key to that is glorifying God and having goodwill among people. And I think as we look at this story, we're going to see how glorifying God and having goodwill among people unfolds itself as we retell this story and rethink it.
Right. And Jesus is called in the Bible the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, if folks don't know him and they don't know the Prince of Peace, how can the world know peace? And when Dr. Farley said he didn't know peace, he wasn't speaking personally himself, but he's speaking about living in a world.
Well, yeah, you know, mm-hmm. I was born just before World War II. And we've had a series of wars. Right now we've got military folks, I think, in 119 countries around the world. That's just America. Mm-hmm. And it's not a very peaceful kind of place. Mm-hmm. And guns aren't going to make it happen. We should know that by now. But there is an answer, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. Bob and Jesus has been aware of people's need. Mm-hmm. Look at that, and Dr. Farley made mention to this, but do you see in verse 34, mm-hmm. this was not just a historical fact that he knew, because he knows everything. It was not just a bit of information that he knew, but do you think it reveals that he cares?
Amen.
We're sitting here at a table in Carrollton, Alabama, yes, right now. Do you think he sees us down here in Carrollton, Alabama?
I know he sees us in Carrollton, Alabama, because he sees all and knows all. And the thing about it, again,
he sees him in Panola. He's got to see him.
He's got to see him in Carrollton. Amen. He's got to see him in Carrollton.
Where? Tupelo? Columbus?
Amen. Aberdeen, everywhere.
Even Tuscaloosa.
Northport, everywhere. So if he can see us where we're at, then he can see everybody else. But the thing about this right here is another, it says they were like a sheep not having a shepherd. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing about that, all these people had came out to see Jesus, and they were wayward. They was basically seeking for direction. Mm-hmm. And to bring it home, it is a lot of time that there are churches, there are people who need literally shepherds.
There you go.
And the scripture says that Jeremiah said, I'll give you shepherds after mine own heart. Mm-hmm. And the sad thing about it, we have so many people who are professing shepherds.
To be in the pulpit here.
Yeah, to be in the pulpit for popularity and prestige and not to serve and teach the people and lead the people into what God would have them. Because he said he was giving shepherds after his own heart, will feed them with knowledge and understanding. It is so much confusion coming from the pulpit. It is so much veering off of the word of God and what God's kingdom is all about. Coming from the pulpit, we have so many fanatical and foolish and follies that's coming out of the pulpit.
Mm-hmm.
And these shepherds are leading people astray. They're telling people, you worship me because I want a certain title. You worship me because I say I can do more than this, that, and the other. I'm not going to feed you with what come out of the Bible. I'm going to give you some stuff that I pull out of the atmosphere, and it's just going to be super foolish. And I want you to follow me because of that, you know. And we can go down through our late history.
You can go to early history. Amen. That's what he had right here.
He had the same thing. But, you know, we can see how there have been people who have been misleading folk and having folk to fall away from the church.
Yep.
You know, and having folks to not follow the principles and the foundation that was laid by Christ.
Right. These people probably were the most religious generation of people in the world.
Amen.
Religious.
Religious, yeah.
And we got a group of religious people today.
Amen. Amen.
These shepherds were the most uncaring peoples in the world.
Amen.
Because they just went through a ritual, and if you are a sheep in Jesus' day, and you don't have a shepherd, you're in trouble. Your hope is to fall in a ditch somewhere because you strayed off.
Amen.
The wolves are going to sure get you.
Amen.
And there's wolves around today nipping at the heels of the sheep. And so Jesus cared. He cared about them.
Amen.
He saw their condition, and he cared about them. I remember in the Bible, it's the shortest verse in the Bible. If I had any little children listening to me, they could tell me that where it was in the book of Gospel of John, that said, Jesus wept.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus wept. Mm-hmm. And that...
Hey, Hershey, I'm just going to say something here. When I first came here 20 years ago, Hershey was at Mount Pleasant, and one of the things they did every Sunday, had kids come up and go to Scripture, and he'd give them awards for it.
And we do it around
the
church.
I bet you you heard Jesus wept a good many times.
Of all the people here, I ought to know where Jesus wept is, and I do. but that one was given over and over and over again. And we still do that up at my new church, Emmanuel Baptist Church. And it's new, not new, because I've been there about 16, 17 years. But he cares.
Yeah.
Excuse me. He looks at a world today where people go to church, mm-hmm. but do they go to Christ? Do they go to Christ? People recognize they have hunger in their heart. It was mentioned earlier in a preacher's prayer breakfast about that between November and end of December, there are more suicides than any other time in the year. Mm-hmm. And people examine themselves, and they see loneliness, and they see needs, and they just see they just feel like they are the forgotten people of the world, but Jesus cared, he cared, and he did more than caring though. How many of y'all that are listening to us and you preachers that are helping me? I've seen that advertisement on television where there's a bank robbery going on. Mm-hmm. And this couple slides down under a table. There stands a guy in a guard uniform, and they say something to him. And he says, "Oh, I'm not a guard. I'm just a monitor. I'm just here to see if they're going to be." And there is a bank robbery going on.
Amen.
The old fella laying up in the dentist chair, and he'd all got tubes in his mouth and teeth all face all taped up. Fella said, "Man, that's the worst cavity I believe I've ever seen." And the poor guy in the chair, "Moment, are you not going to do anything about it?" Said, "Oh no, we're just cavity monitors." and they leave and go to lunch. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what was going on in that day and time. They didn't have TV and they didn't have banks and guards, or perhaps not cavity monitors. But Jesus, when he saw a problem, mm-hmm. he needed in his heart.
Amen.
And had a commitment to do
act upon
what they were then, Herschel, was law monitors.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah,
that's exactly what they were doing. And they were monitoring the law and enforcing it, if at all possible, to the needs of the lives and hearts of the people. Mm-hmm. And for so long, it had been a failure.
Amen.
They had no mercy. There was no love involved in it. It was all legalism.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so they were indeed the same as you talked about the guard in the bank. They were law monitors. And brother, if you didn't keep the law, they put a monitoring on you too.
Amen.
And they had the authority. Oh, Paul, the Apostle Paul. What was he before he became Paul? He was Saul.
A law monitor.
And what did he do? Now, what did he do as far as he found one that wasn't going his way in religion? And what did he do to them, Bob?
Well, he persecuted them, or stoned them, or killed them, or had them put in jail.
Yeah.
And the thing about Paul was that he was so starched, or so steeped into the law, and so well-versed and educated that he was able to go to the king and persuade him to give him a letter to do unjustly towards
up in another country.
In another, against other people. You know, that's what sometimes people miss the concept about Paul, is that Paul was super smart. He studied at the Yale of that day, was under Gamaliel.
He was the highest level teacher you could.
And he even succeeded some of those teachers that he had learned from prior before going there. And so he tells about those things, about how, but Jesus had to come to him. Jesus saw a need in the incarnated to see that I'm going to have to do Paul a tutoring and not just a teaching. See, a teaching was the 12, was a classroom setting, and Paul had to be tutored. So one-on-one, sometime when a person has a special need or need to be instructed more in-depthly, they need to have a one-on-one teaching to get some understanding.
And old Paul, he was on a mission when he really met Jesus.
Amen. He was,
he heard about Jesus.
Yeah.
He hated Jesus. Paul didn't think he was doing anything wrong. He said that if you want to compare me to these other Jewish leaders, I'll pass the test.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee.
Amen.
Born of a very highly respected Jewish family.
Mm-hmm.
Trained under, as Bob just got through saying, the very best. But really, he had missed it all.
Yeah.
And then on the way to Damascus.
The saddest part of it, Herschel, is that Paul and the leadership then behind him or over him, they thought they were doing God a favor by doing away with those individuals that then were seeing the light of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if you go to John chapter number 16, the first few verses of it, it explains that exactly to our day now.
Oh, it does.
It just simply says that there's coming a day when people are going to be killed for the gospel's sake, and they think then they're doing God a favor.
And
that's exactly what the ISIS is doing now, is they're killing people and persecuting people, And they think they're doing God a favor.
Amen.
And it's coming right here to America.
Absolutely.
It's coming to America. I read the other day or heard in Sweden that the population of Sweden has at least equaled or maybe has grown to the other side of Muslim. And so now Sweden no longer, it probably couldn't have been called a Christian nation before, but it certainly cannot now.
Gotcha.
And so Paul was, he was well thought of.
Mm-hmm.
He had a wonderful reputation. He was repetitious too.
Yeah, and reputation.
But
yeah.
Who was it that, what happened to him on the road to Damascus, Dr. Farley?
Well, he had an encounter with Jesus.
Amen.
Paul, God, Jesus asked him, why do you kick against the pricks?
Hmm.
What does that mean?
Well, it had to do with driving a donkey, and sometimes they were unruly, kind of like my new pet dog. And
do you use pricks on him?
Well, we hit on the floor with a rolled up paper to get his attention, her attention.
Mm.
And but anyway, they had spike-like things, as I understand, so that if it got unruly, was kicking around the donkey, that it would realize that that was a mistake.
If he kicked backwards and got stuck with one of them things.
Yeah.
Well, but now Paul wasn't wearing any of those, was he?
No, but he was saying, you know, why aren't you listening?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like I say to Daisy several times every day, why aren't you listening?
Mm-hmm.
And the point was, hey, you know, have some good sense. You know, figure out that what you're doing is self-destructive,
mm-hmm.
and it's against the will of God.
And it's destructive for those that you're doing it to.
Yeah, sure.
Both as a individual who has to go to prison or die, mm-hmm. and then their families be scared off from becoming a Christian.
Right. Amen.
And
speaking of prison, I want to brag on the association a little bit. One of the saddest things to me is to think about those mothers out there away from their children at Christmas time. But each year, with the help of Gardendale Baptist Church and some other folks across Alabama, we have provided a gift card for all the children of all the ladies out there who are United States citizens. Now, we can't do that to the ones from Mexico
and other places,
Guatemala and other places, but several hundred cards every year, several thousand dollars. And that's, you know, it's not really a substitute for having your mother there,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just awfully proud of the people of our Baptist Association and other places who have at least participated in this Angel Tree program that I would think would be very helpful to mothers to realize, well, I couldn't get my kids anything, but some good godly folks have made a sacrifice to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Well, I think we've all concluded. Well, I do want to go one step further, though, Paul. So he got blinded and fell down blind by a light that shined brighter than the day and the sun. And they had to lead him into Damascus, into a strange territory.
Mm-hmm.
He's away from home now. He ain't got none of this. Ain't got a bunch of folks back home clapping their hands and urging him on. He's just a plain old educated Saul now that is blind and needy. Needs people to lead him around. But God had one special fella. Bob, do you remember his name? He said to go to him and talk to him.
Ananias.
Mm-hmm. Well, Ananias said, Lord, boy, that's a great opportunity for me, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
No, he said. He said, I'm scared to go up there. I heard what that guy did.
Right, right.
And God said, no, you go on. I got a big mission for him.
Mm-hmm.
I got you back.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And, well, now look, we've talked all around the thing that I think they need to hear the most, Brother Pinion. And that is, some folks are listening to us who have drug habits. They're in trouble with their family. Christmas has just passed, and they're feeling so lonely because their family was not there. Some of them are in prisons, and I'm glad, and they not all are like the prison here in Aliceville, Alabama, where it has become a mega place for God to be honored and for Him to be preached. And they're lonely, hurting people, and they think that if they could just get out of jail, it'd be okay. If they could just make it up with their wife or husband, it'd be okay. If they could get a better job, that old job they got, it's a long hour and little paid. But what need do they have the most? I think we've all concluded it's to know Jesus.
Amen.
But how do they do that, Brother Benny?
Well, the biggest thing they need to do, Herschel, is probably recognize that they have fallen away from the love of God and the grace of God, and that's called sin.
Yep.
And when sin comes into our lives, there has to be a remedy. And God was gracious and kind enough to provide that remedy in His Son as our Savior and as our Lord. And for our sin, we should be the one that was crucified.
Mm-hmm.
But God saw fit to love us and to lead us and to supply the Spirit of God that I know in my case, I followed a long way for a long time.
Me too.
Before the Spirit of God got the message across to me that Jesus died in my place.
Amen.
And for those who are listening, He did the same thing for
them. Amen.
The ones that have turned away from Him, that are living contrary to His leadership and guidance and grace, and those who have never asked Him to forgive their sins and come into their lives, if they will do so, then that is exactly the reason He died. And He'll come in and He'll show us a better way, and He'll show us a much brighter way. That if we love Him and serve Him, His provisions are made available to us, and His power is adequate for us. And I would encourage any that are listening now that have never confessed their sins, never asked the Christ to come into their hearts, that they do that now.
And what would they do as a follow-up if, you know, they couldn't do that? Well, they might could do this in prison, because our prison here has churches. In fact, it's almost like a big church. But what would be the next step?
Well, the step beyond that for an individual who is not in prison, who has been led away from the prison of sin,
right,
would be to get into a Bible-believing church and under the leadership of Christian people with a pastor that loves them and preaches the gospel of Christ to them and start growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those are individuals that need to find them a church somewhere and start serving the Lord and growing in His likeness.
Amen. And won't nothing else won't nothing else meet that need.
No, no.
Won't anything else in the world. So you can, now we are not going to mislead you and tell you, if you will accept Jesus today, that in the morning they're going to come and offer you a $75,000 job about 3 miles away from home. We're not going to tell you that if you accept Jesus, your wife or husband, who may have left you for good cause, is going to come back and everything be just like it was at the early days of marriage. But I'm going to tell you one thing, and I've proven it over and over again. To walk with Jesus through these same conditions you have is so much easier than walking without.
Amen.
And I've also seen that God can do anything. We had a young lady in our church who was lost. She was her colon was in terrible condition, and they'd already reached the conclusion that if it didn't heal, they were going to have to remove her colon. Mm-hmm. She's 24 years old, has a 4-year-old daughter, and that she would wear a colostomy for the rest of her life. Well, I told the church, I said, I just can't stand, because she was so sick, she was really possibly going to die. Mm. I can't describe her color, how pale and all it was. And I asked the church, I said, please help me to pray for her salvation and an opening for me to witness to her. And I said that two or three times, but on Sunday morning, before we ever went back to our Sunday school, I asked them to do that. We came out of church, I gave the invitation, folks came to the altar, she came to the very front pew and sat down, and I asked her, are you here to accept Jesus as your Savior? She was wearing a mask where she wouldn't catch anything from anybody, and she said, I am. So she prayed to receive Jesus, and we're going to baptize her as soon as she's able. Amen. But after we had done that night, I said, I'm going to step out a little further in faith. Mm-hmm. I've seen God do some miracles on top of miracles. I said, let's pray for her healing, total healing. Well, the nurse came yesterday and said, I have never seen you look this good. Said your vital signs are all perfect, and says, I'm releasing you, and we'll get the doctor to sign the release for you to go back to work.
Amen.
Now, you think God don't do things if we pray?
Amen.
We have not because we ask.
Amen.
We have not because we ask. And I don't know that I need to take up a lot more. Man, I just wish I had a day when I could just record this all day long, what God has done. But we do need other people to say something too. So, do that. Do what Brother Pinion said. He gave you excellent advice. And I skipped on here. I skipped a whole section of my story on my outline. So we're gonna go with it anyhow.
Amen.
Because I see my computer and its operator messed up. But the second thing, and Brother Pinion's gonna read us, comes out of Mark 6. 38-44.
And the Bible said, saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed, and brake the loaves, and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men.
Mm-hmm. Jesus.
Man, that was a fish fry, wasn't
Amen.
It?
That was
Amen.
So.
Amen.
And it was a fish fry out of a small catch.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
It was.
Amen.
Jesus is able to meet everybody's needs. You can't come up with a condition that he couldn't rise them up if that was his will to do so and meet that need. Jesus, Brother Gary, has them to access their daily ability, but to understand their limited capability.
Mm-hmm.
In that first verse, he said to them, "You guys, well, first of all, there's a section there where he said he had them all to sit mm-hmm. down because they were hungry. We just dealt with that, and then he says unto them, well, feed them.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. He had to do a little inventory, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. So he said."
Feed them all.
Yeah. Who did I just call on to do this?
Yeah. Brother Penny.
Well, now, he had them to assess the capability in verse 38. What was their capability? What did they have at that point?
Well, it was very limited. They had 2 fish and
5 loaves, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. and you figure 5,000 men, there are probably some women, and maybe a few
20,000 folks, I guess.
Yeah.
And so it,
Yeah. Pretty big order.
Yeah, good big thing. A desert place. I'm not just sure where they were at, but they probably didn't have a whole lot of Coca-Cola to drink either.
They didn't have Piggly Wiggly's around. No. Excuse me, all you other stores.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
In terms of rational things, it was an impossibility.
Amen. Hopeless situation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It was prime subject for a miracle.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. As we looked
and
at,
must have had a tremendous impact upon people, because later on Jesus refers to himself as the bread of life, and I suspect that in the minds of the people he was talking to, they were thinking about, they'd heard about this story and the feeding of 4,000 people later on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and there was a connection, I'm sure. That was very important, because Jesus does take care of our physical needs, but even more so, he takes care of our spiritual needs.
And if he only does the physical, okay, I remember when the Twin Towers in New York fell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know next Sunday we had a house full of people?
Mm-hmm. Well, sure you did.
I mean, they just flocked in.
We didn't wait till the next Sunday. We had a midweek service.
Prayer vigil.
With the building filled.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we had an extra service then on a Friday.
Building filled.
That also was a building filled. Because people were concerned that we were going to wind up in a war. They saw the dangers that it posed and presented. And they had no other alternative at the time,
trust God.
It seemed, except turn to God.
Amen.
Fast forward 3 months later, Brother Pinion.
Well, racing forward 3 months later, we didn't have a big crowd for Wednesday night service, nor did we have any
Friday
service. And our Sunday service had dwindled back down to normal.
Amen.
Well, what I was doing, Dr. Farley, I would follow up on what he said. Thank God, always when these things happen, there are a few people who get the picture for the long run.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But far too many forget.
Amen. Amen.
And I could give personal experience with my daughter, and when she was five, had a serious head injury in the hospital for 23 days, and our church just packed out. But it wasn't long to be normal.
Mm-hmm.
Had another accident, head injury, and was in the hospital 40 days. Mm-hmm. Got home, church filled. But then fell back to normal.
Amen. Amen. When you read this, it shows that Jehovah Jireh,
provides.
The God who provides, shows up in the midst of a lot of this. Underlying in this text.
Right.
And it starts out by saying five. Five is the number for grace.
Mm-hmm.
And grace is undeserved favor.
Mm-hmm.
The disciples had already said that these people who are here don't deserve our denarius, our 200 days worth of wages. They are undeserved.
But it's going to take that much to do it.
It's going to take that much to do it, and we don't have enough. So they are undeserving of our money to go and buy them lunch. But the provider, Jehovah Jireh, shows up in the midst of them and said, now get them in order. Let them sit down. Because he said, now five loaves, grace, two fish, unity.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to show where he unifies with the Father. And the Father is going to supply. Jehovah Jireh is going to supply the need for them 20,000 folks with five loaves and two fish.
How many were those loaves, Bob?
They was barley loaves. They was the poor man's. Basically, it wasn't really enough for two fish sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
It was more like two fish crackers.
Biscuits.
Biscuits, you know. Here it is. We see the awesomeness of Jesus seeing the need, the disciples saying, we don't have enough money, and Just give them the word and send them away and let them pay for their own. But Jesus said, no, they're here in this place, desert place. And it goes back to remind, they should have realized, oh, it's a desert place. Then the children wandered for 40 years and they never had to go to a grocery store, never had to go to a clothing store, never had to go to a shoe shop. If he provided then for 40 years, he ought to be able to provide for this handful of folk for one setting.
But he provided more, Bob.
Oh, yeah, he provided
they
more.
He picked up 12 baskets.
Amen.
Fragments
of food.
Well, I'm going
to
ask you.
They didn't just have to go home. They could fix up a sandwich.
Amen.
They could pack their lunch.
But don't you know that little boy's, eyes got biscuit. They got biscuit. Got big when Jesus began to break him little biscuits. Mm-hmm. And they kept coming. And they kept coming. And they kept breaking, and they kept bigger pieces. There's some more pieces. And then he took his knife or borrowed one from John or one of the others, and they began to whack that little fish up, and it just kept getting it going along. And he said, what are they cutting up? My fish was just a little brim, little brim.
It also goes back to Elijah and Elisha when they had those multiplications. One had a meal barrel, the other one had oil.
Yeah.
And God showed up in the midst of it, and they went back to the same oil vessel, never got a new oil vessel, and it filled up all of the vessels that they had borrowed and all that was in the house.
Right.
Then the meal barrel, 3-year famine. It then said it. She went out and bought more meal, or brought more meal. But every time she went back to that same meal barrel, every day, for the time of the famine, it was enough meal in there to sustain her in her house. That's what a lot of times we miss. We think it just was her and her boy. But it says her whole household. And if he could do that with them, now his son comes and bless this little fish sandwich.
Short-term memory, Mom.
Short-term memory. And folks will go back to doing the same thing, as we said, even after 9/11. Go after they've seen the miraculous, after they've seen the favor, after they've seen the grace and the mercy of God, they go right back to what is normal. And God have to remind, even with the 12 basket, had to remind, a reminder, the leftovers is a reminder of the awesomeness of God.
Who does God expect, Brother Pinion, to feed those people? He said, now have them sit down, and I'm going to walk around, and I'm going to let them touch that fish, and I'm going to make it get big, and it'll pull off part of it and go on. Who did he tell them to feed? Who did he tell to feed those folk?
Well, he told his apostles that were with him,
his workers,
to act as a servant. And that's what they were doing.
Well, what is our job?
That's what we're to do.
And the other thing, too, have you ever recognized that when you start serving, it seemed like more resources appear?
Yeah.
It does. If you're serving faithfully and truthfully for God,
God start miraculously multiplying the resources. You say, well, I'm going to do, I had a person that said, I'm going to do 15 baskets for Christmas. And that's all I'm going to do because I don't have enough resources to do this, that, and the other. And then the final count was they end up doing 30 baskets. Because they said, well, stuff just started coming and appearing. I went in here and I saw this and I saw that. I didn't know I had put this behind this. And all of a sudden, this stuff just started.
If God blesses it, it will be enough.
Amen. More than enough.
Everything. More than over. 12 baskets.
Man, more than enough.
12 baskets full.
Amen.
And let me add one little thing to this. When we think here in the Deep South, we think of catfish. We think of breaded catfish that has been cooked in hot oil and hush puppies and all that.
Look out there, Pinion.
That goes wrong with it, you know.
Cold slaw on the side.
These probably were just two little old salt preserved fish.
Yeah, they were.
And they, you know, there was enough there, though. And I mentioned this a while ago. that they no such fish fry had ever been cooked up back then. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that it was a fried fish.
Yeah.
It don't matter.
It was just something.
It was a filling of fish.
They could take a piece of that fish and it'd feed 100.
Yeah.
It was a filling fish.
Or 1,000. Yeah. And it met their needs. But, you know, they were accustomed to that. And they probably got it from some little old kid
that had
foresight enough to pack his lunch.
Amen.
Carry it with him. Amen. And they found it from him. And God multiplied it and used
Amen.
It. Just Amen. Blessed the whole crowd. And by the way, still blessing us.
Amen.
Well, I want to make a point. And Gary, you said you had a third thing.
We've made it already.
Oh, well, that's good. Because I didn't know how he's going to squeeze you in.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
He does.
Amen.
It's a perpetual.
But there's a Amen. Lesson there for you good parishioners that are listening to us. You ought to go prepared to stay a little after lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't when it gets 11:55, don't get nervous and start shaking your books and all.
You do that especially.
They don't do that at Bob's church. They start early and stay late.
They do. They do over at rehearsal.
So here's the story. They didn't get the blessing. They didn't get all the blessings. They left part of it. If any of them got up and left, said, "Man, look. Honey, sun's getting down over there. Let's leave and go hunt us something to eat."
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get this blessing.
Mm-mm.
But I don't believe anybody ever left Jesus' teaching.
Amen, amen, amen.
They might leave mine.
Amen, amen.
When
you were a familiar hymn resonated in my mind and spirit. It says, "Bread of heaven,
mm-hmm.
bread of heaven, feed us till we want no more."
See,
when they get up and leave, they missed the filling. From the one who provide the bread from heaven, huh?
Yeah.
If you sit there and don't leave before lunch, huh?
Don't leave
he'll
before
fill
lunch.
You, he'll fill you with some
you
spiritual
stay after
stuff.
Lunch. You come prepared. Now, that old kid apparently was the only one that was going to stay after lunch.
Amen.
Can't all the rest of them getting out of there for lunch time.
Yeah.
Or whatever time it was to eat. So you come prepared to stay till the very end to get the full of God's blessings in your life. What do you think now, in all seriousness, I got a lot more I want to say and a lot little time to say it in. What do you think they did, Dr. Farley, with those 12 basketfuls of food they had left over? I hope they didn't carry it to the homes of them that left early.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, I really don't know, but I kind of felt like probably he was saying, hey, it's not just a one-shot thing, you know. Come on around and gather up what you need to get you home.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
And you know, and to me, that's what the gospel is. You know, it's not just getting excited one time and going down and crying and getting baptized and then be as sorry as you ever were. It's an ongoing kind of feeding. I think that's the reason that the concept of Jesus being the bread of life is so important. And you have. You know, that wonderful devotional magazine a lot of people read about our daily bread,
mm-hmm.
the idea that Christ keeps on feeding us. He
Amen.
Feeds us physically, but even more so, he feeds us spiritually.
Amen, amen. And also, from a different perspective, is that the 12 that were serving, even though they didn't bring anything to the table, they participated in the table, so they was able to reap a reward of a basket from the table.
And I think a table that you get where Jesus is just fixed, it's going to always be wonderful.
Amen.
Thank y'all for joining
us. And if you serve, you will get a reward. Amen. Be blessed. Amen.
Thank y'all for joining us, not only this morning, but last year. This is the first Sunday. This is your first opportunity, as far as Sundays go, in the new year. Keep it up. Not only listening to us, but going to your church. And please, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, get on your knees right now. If you're not driving or some way where you can't do that, ask Jesus to forgive your sins. Tell him you believe that he came and died for you. You believe that he was raised from the grave and that he's coming again to get us, maybe really, really soon. And then you leave there today. and go to serve him. You take the bread to the people. The world is filled with spiritually starving people.
Amen.
Again, God bless you, and thank you for joining us. God willing, we'll see you right here next week on the radio.
Amen.